The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. And this is another Thursday, folks. And that's the last Thursday of March. Welcome to the Jack B Show, the show where, as they say in the introduction, we try to bring pit smarts and street smarts together on what has been a fantastic first quarter, folks. I got to tell you, you know, when you look back in hindsight, that's when you realize how good things have actually been. You know, it's one of those things that you end up learning about as you get older in life. And this quarter has been one of those quarters that not only has been absolutely phenomenal. Look, when you're talking 10% in equities, I don't care where you're talking, what market you're talking, that is a huge move. But on top of that, and I think one of the things that I was saying, in fact, for those of you that saw me on the Kudlow show last night, you know what I'm about to say. This is happening with what Larry calls King Dollar back, all right? And I got to love that, folks. For me, that is one of the biggest keys, that we are getting new all-time highs in the Dow, in the Russell 2000, in the Dow Transports, in the S&P 500, in the, you know, then you go down to you go to the mid-cap. Basically, folks, you're looking at that records across the board. And all of that tells me that there is, guess what? A bull market at hand. Look, let's call it what it is, folks. Very rarely do you get a situation where you have a quarter like we just experienced, followed by a rest of the year that ends up being a down year. All right? It doesn't happen very often. Can it happen? Of course. Look, it happened in 87. It happened in 2011. I think those were the exceptions. Could this knucklehead out in North Korea do something? I was going to say North Carolina, by the way, and I think that was wrong. But North Korea do something? Absolutely. You know what? Can Cyprus turn into something bigger than it is right now? I happen to not think so. But look, there is that possibility, and we'll talk a little bit about that with our guest in a little while. But all of that leads me to what I guess I'm getting at, and that is this first quarter, folks, is indicative of a powerful bull market. Plain and simple. Any way you cut it, any way you dice it, any way you look at it, you have got a bull market. So when people are asking you or coming up with all of the naysaying, and folks, there are a lot of naysayers out there. Trust me, you know, all you have to do is look at, say, the 10-year bond where you've got all of this money parked, and they'll tell you how much negativity there really is in the marketplace. You know, the fact is that you have got a lot of people that are missing this rally. You know, somebody asked me the other day, you know, what's indicative of a good bull, a strong bull? I said, a strong bull, I think for me, one of the biggest strongest characteristics of a powerful market is when nobody is in that market, when you have got money on the sidelines waiting to get in. Well, folks, understand something. This market is the Rodney Dangerfield of markets. It's funny because I was calling that before it was famous and before it was actually, you know, being used. But hey, you know what? Let's bring in somebody who knows a little bit about what they're talking about in this. And that is, of course, Alan Rohrbach. He's the founder of Rohr International, a prolific blogger out there. And Alan, by the way, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you on
Thanks,
that weekly
Jack.
Basis. I feel like calling you Norm. Norm! It's good to see you, like the old Cheers show.
I can relate to Rodney Dangerfield market. I get no respect either.
But you know what? It's funny because I was calling this the no respect market months before they started actually calling it the least respected rally, the Rodney Dangerfield rally. I remember getting emails from people when we were at 1380 in the S&P, and they were telling me that I was on crack because I was telling them that we were going to see 1500. Well, when we took out 1500, I started calling them back and saying, guess what? Look for 1700 because that's coming real quick.
Would you like to share the pipe?
I love it. You know what? But hey, we have got some very, very interesting times. You got one of the best quarters that you and I have ever experienced, I think, you know, in history, in the markets. It's coming off of the heels of what you would consider to be an election result that wouldn't warrant this kind of move. And I guess what I want to do is maybe over the course of the next few minutes, maybe dissect the quarter a little bit, maybe understand why there was so much negativity going into this, what's kept people on the sidelines. And then, you know, in the next couple of segments, let's talk a little bit about Cyprus. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on overseas, why all of that, I guess, you know, hyperbole that seems to be, you know, taking place. Look, I was on yesterday with the guy from on the Kudlow show from one, I think the Cato Institute.
I watched. It was very good segment with the interplay.
You know what? Basically, he was saying, you know, it's a disaster. It's written. I said, no, it's contained. I said, you know what? The Cypriots now, and nobody wants to talk about the 1,000-pound gorilla. They've been living on borrowed time.
Right.
All right? Is that simple as that?
I saw you say that.
So,
yeah.
I mean, and that's, I mean, and I hate to say it that way because I've got relatives in Cyprus, but that's the way it is. But here, but before we talk about Cyprus, let's stick with what's going on right now. Great quarter. Fantastic quarter. All right. Give me your take on what could be one of the best bull runs we've seen ever.
Well, the first thing is something we said back in January, and it was the opening of the year after the fiscal cliff was avoided, that huge gap higher just to retread to the beginning of the quarter. It's like, well, guess what? The bulls made their case. Jack, it's something, it relates to something. If we have to put it in a context, it relates to there being troubles in the world, but not as much trouble as the bears would like to believe, with corporations still earning money in a challenging situation. You know, and what happens along the way is you get these mini crises. This is not a euro's going to disintegrate crisis like we had last summer. It's not the original Greek crisis when Europe didn't have any mechanism set up to deal with it. It's a lot of what you said about, it seems every time we get these mini crises, it's good for a sell-off, and then technically, you and I have discussed, you know, we come in with my levels, we say, the bears just never get the market back below where they need to get it.
Now you hit the nail on the head right there, Ellen. I want to talk some market philosophy with you. I was always told that if a market doesn't go down, there's a reason for it. Just like if a market doesn't go up, there's a reason for it, all right?
Sure.
And, you know, I guess people don't see it that way. When the market doesn't go down, they ask themselves, you know, the people have got it wrong. You know, I heard this so many times over the course of the last 3 months,
has it wrong.
The market's got it wrong.
I'm right, the market's wrong.
But what they're saying is that the bond market has it right. The bond market is telling you, number one, the bond market has been wrong for the last 2-3 years. It's been telling us that China's going to break up. It's been telling us, or Europe is going to break up, I should say. It's going to tell us that China is going to have a crash landing. It's been telling us that we're going to go through a double dip recession. It's been wrong on every account. All right. I guess my point is that it's been sending the absolute wrong signals. At the same time, we are getting what I consider to be this expansion in a multiple. So the fact that it's not going down in hindsight, and I'd love your comments on this, is a clear signal of the underlying strength behind this market. Like any other commodity, when you cannot get it down, and I know that it's been hard convincing you, because you're a bear at heart.
I am still a skeptic.
I know you are.
Obamacare and other things could trip up the market, but Jack, then we always go back to, but you have to, you know, it's the old W.D. Gann thing. Don't fight the tape.
Yeah.
The tape has been strong, and the further articulation of something, you know, you said a moment ago is exactly right. Definition of a bear market is good news brings little bounces and bad news brings big sell-offs, but now we're in a bull market. Bad news brings minor corrections. Good news brings the push to new highs and successive new highs. Definition of a bull, it's a textbook bull.
Yeah, you know, and more importantly, in fact, I said this on Kudlow yesterday. What happens if you don't get the pullbacks that people are looking for? What happens if you don't get that 5 or 7% pullback that people always look for because, you know, I can't buy it on the rally. No, I got to wait for the pullback. Well, I can tell you, there have been times in my life I've seen the market go.
Sure, 82.
Remember that.
The economy's still not that good.
You know what? I remember during Jimmy Carter's year, in the second term of Bill Clinton's administration, we saw a year, whichever it was, where the market just, I think it put on like 25%,
right,
and it never pulled back more than 3
right.
or 5%
after the Greenspan tightening in
94, right.
95 onward, there was all kinds of macro factors like the computerization, the automation.
The other thing, by the way, that happened back then, which is very topical, is that there was a repatriation tax holiday. We brought back $1 trillion, 2005.
And you could see it in the dollar for 1 year.
You remember
end of
that?
The year. dollar goes right back down because all the flow is coming into the dollar.
There's a lot of talk about that right now, especially with what's going on in Cyprus and the fact that I talked to a couple of corporate treasurers. In fact, I was at lunch yesterday with a couple of dinner, I should say, on Monday night. I was at Chicago Cut, by the way. Wonderful restaurant here in Chicago. I've never been there before. But I was with two of the largest treasurers of the REITs that are publicly traded here. Right. I won't mention their names only because I don't know if I own any of them in my portfolios at Northern or whatever, so I better not say anything. But these treasurers actually said something to me that I thought was fascinating. They said that they're so lucky that none of their assets are sitting overseas. Now, I found that to be a very introspective statement, only because what they were actually saying to me was that they were afraid, or they would be afraid, if they had assets sitting overseas, primarily because of what was happening in Cyprus. Now, I'm bringing that up, and I don't want to talk Cyprus until we get back into the next segment, but that, in and of itself, is a very telling statement, if indeed we get corporate treasurers that put that kind of pressure, because before they weren't doing that. They were very content with that money sitting overseas.
They have pressure now for the exact reason you mentioned before. King dollar is back. And the degree to which there's any
They're losing money by that money sitting overseas.
They're losing money all of a sudden. It hasn't been the case for years now, until the last 6 months, that it's been very clear it's going to be some further erosion of your profitability, of any profits you make overseas. And it's harder to make profits overseas with Europe being so weak, etc. And anything you do make, you're going to be making less. And they probably have some money overseas now that if you get a bona fide tax holiday on repatriated funds from corporations, and that doesn't mean no tax. They can take it down to like 15% or 10%.
They'll probably take it down to 5.75%. That's what they were talking about once before. But if they do that, they do it conditionally.
And then forget about the bear market here. Then
you
they
can't give out dividends.
The money.
Well, no. I think it's great. I think if you do that for job creation, you cannot give out dividends, or you got to put a freeze on or increasing your dividend rate over the course.
Even let them give the dividends out. It means people have huge amounts of money they can go out and spend.
No, I think that works out well. But here, Alan, real quick, we got about 3 minutes left in a segment. Are we going to be sitting here in another 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, maybe in a couple of quarters, talking about a market that is significantly higher, right where it's at, or significantly lower? I'd love for you just from 30,000 feet, what is your gut telling you on that?
My gut, I got a twofold answer for you. And you said 6 months from now?
6 months from now, I'm talking.
I think
three months
from now will be higher without having gone too much lower. Third quarter of this year, that's when you get your inflection point where you have to worry about Obamacare's extended impact. All the things we've discussed already in the show, so I won't take up the end of this segment.
Well, September is always that weak month. I know that, you know, I guess here's the real question. Is this going to be a May to sell and walk away, you know what I mean? Or is this going to be, you know, a May where we put on maybe a couple of puts just in the event that we go down, but this can be the continuation of the rally?
I think it's a May where you probably get a break, but you'll want to own them again by June. It's not sell them in May and go away to Labor Day. It won't be a stay out during the summer. Very similar to last year. I think you're going to get a sell-off from sometime here in April, maybe even before May. Very similar pattern to last year, and we'll cover the technicals later. But once again, we're in that position where we're about as overbought because the underlying broader trend is averages are rising. About as overbought by the time we get to, let's say, 1580 on the S&P future as we were last March into April. So it creates a bit more risk. And that's what you have to watch out for.
You're saying we're overbought, and I agree with you. I think that we might be a little overextended, but it feels to me as if this market has been going sideways for quite a while, even though we're at all-time highs in the S&P cash. And
self-correcting. I think the mayor of the markets was talking about that recently.
You know what?
Aaron,
he was saying it
yesterday.
Saying
these minor dips are
taking all the overbought out. And I got
to
tell you something. And Alan, I guess, you know, in the last minute here or so in this segment, I'd love for us to comment on this. From a psychological standpoint, that has really got to wear on the bears. I mean, you know, this is the kind of market that if you are bearish, this has got to be. And, I mean, it's like getting your fingernails just pulled off. It's just got
to
be horrible.
It's something you said before, just to wrap up the segment. You said about the bulls who aren't getting the size of pullback they want. Everyone talks about, well, there are people looking for it to go down. They're short trying to profit. It's the bear squeeze. We've mentioned this before. We are in the midst of an unbought bull squeeze. There's still cash on the sidelines of people who say, I didn't buy it $10 lower. I didn't buy it $20 lower. I didn't buy it $40 lower. How can I buy it here? Well, sooner or later, they go, it's never going down, and they jump in. And that might be the extension to 1580. Once they're in, the market can go down.
Well, I could see that happening. That's where you would get that euphoria that we always talk about that usually signals right. that near-term top, which, by the way, we still have not said. Don't you love the fact that we are at all-time highs in these averages, yet there is absolutely no euphoria whatsoever out there? Isn't
Rodney,
that fascinating?
It's Rodney. I get no respect.
I am telling you. I've got an S&P near 1570. I'm awestruck. I'm literally awestruck by that. And over the course of the next few days, we're probably going to be getting these headlines about how we've got new all-time highs in the indices, yet no one's going to even mention that we have got a 185 10-year. Yes, folks, that's 1.85% with all-time highs in the indices. Doesn't make sense, does it? All right, let's take a few minutes. I'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. And the last day to trade. That's right, folks. Good Friday tomorrow. For all of our Jewish listeners out there, happy Passover. For all of our Christian listeners out there, happy Easter. For all of our atheist listeners out there, good luck. All right, so there you go. And do you like that, by the way?
I like it. And you know what else? I'm a big fan of that. And there's some things I agree with conservatives on, some not. There is an attack on religion in this country, and the atheists, we should say, fine, that's your religion. But don't bother me about not practicing
yeah,
mine.
That's right.
You betcha.
I like that, though. You know what? Good luck. Anyway, the markets, I guess, you know what, on a day like today where we have seen, you know, I love the fact it's poetic justice, closing at new all-time highs at quarter end, you know what I mean? Nice way to finish off what is a tremendous first quarter. Remember, you have got a lot of what were considered to be some serious headwinds, folks, that are holding this market down, or supposed to hold this market down. Of course, we had Obamacare. We had, you know, the whole situation in China, new leadership. Oh, horrible. Oh, they're gonna see a big recession. Of course, you know, we're gonna see a big contraction in earnings here, a big contraction in multiples. People, you know what? Dogs and cats were gonna be playing together. They were all wrong. You know what? They were all wrong. In fact, the one thing they were wrong about, in my mind, the most was Europe. And, you know, I want to bring in right now our good friend, who is, of course, our co-host for the hour, Alan Rohrbach, who I consider to be the Euro guru. All right? That's what I'm going to call you from now on. You are. In fact, we just had Alan on the market update segment at the CME, by the way. If you go to the open markets segment, you'll see Alan. You'll see his lovely face. You'll see how much taller, by the way, he is than me, because I didn't stand on my box this time. But Alan, hey, look, you know what? You know Europe better than just about anybody. Give the listeners your understanding of what was going on this week and over the course of the last couple of weeks now with these banks being closed. You know, the fact is that this disaster that everybody was waiting for, where there were going to be riots in the streets of Nicosia, did not really materialize. But more importantly, you know, the contagion that everybody was concerned about into Italy and Spain at least has not happened as of yet. But give us, shed some light on it with some expertise, please.
Well, the first thing to keep in mind, series of points I put in perspective. One, on the plus side, Cyprus is 0.2% of the Eurozone economy. So you can put that in the context of it's almost infinitesimal.
So you know what? If they were no longer in the Eurozone, it wouldn't matter from a GDP standpoint. Of course, you know what? I've got Cypriot relatives, so I've got to be careful right. What I say if they're listening here. Love you guys, by the way, out there.
And
they're in the south part, by the way, and you know, in the Greek part, just so you know, not in the north part by the Turks. It's all right.
Well, I would hope so.
I just figured I'd tell you that. You know, I didn't think I had to, but I figured I'd tell you.
No, the only reasonable thing I can imagine. Now, the second thing is the bad thing, which is, of course, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And coming up with money through some sort of vehicle when you've got no place else to go, even at that, as they say, taxing the deposits of the large depositors. It was originally going to be even some of the supposed guaranteed funds. That was a nightmare. And as immediately after they did it, and after the Dutch minister said even taxing the large depositors might be a template for Europe, all the rest of the finance ministers in Europe spent the next couple of days, the last couple of days, walking it back and going, no, this is unique. We're not going to do this anywhere else. Of course, no one trusts them.
I want to interrupt you for 1 second. Is part of the problem, you know, kind of like what Kissinger said, and that was, you know, when I want to call Europe, who do I call? I mean, there are so many voices that we don't really know who speaks for Europe. You know, so when somebody says something out of Brussels, it could be the most insignificant little board governor, but all of a sudden it seems to carry all this weight, but yet it really doesn't mean anything. How do we know what matters and what doesn't, I guess, out of Europe?
Well, I think you're right. Kissinger hit the nail on the head. Who do I call? Well, right now you got to get on a conference call with the head of the EU, Mario Draghi, and Christine Lagarde at the head of the IMF, and say, well, what do we all agree on? And hope that they are all on the same page. So it does create a bit of a problem in terms of where is your real rapid response when there's a crisis in Europe. That said, you know, they did say, you know, the ECB, Draghi is standing behind the banks, which he would, but not to pass out money to protect the accounts of people who are, you know, engaged in some degree. And this is the problem they have there. To some degree, the accounts, the larger accounts that are being taxed, and it's not a tax, you have a transaction that's taxed. I mean, here we have real estate.
No, this is confiscation.
This is pure confiscatory.
Yeah, this points out
we're all socialist.
I call it
programs.
It's Stalin-esque. I mean, this is like the Cheka all over again. I see it, and it just makes me cringe. But go ahead.
And the point is that this leaves you in a position where you must turn around and say, okay, we have a situation where it can only be solved in that manner. Now it creates concerns about, well, would they try it again in the rest of Europe and the bigger problem there? And they're saying they wouldn't, and other countries in Europe have other resources. They shouldn't have to go after large depositors. But here's the problem, even in Cyprus. Some of the large depositors are commercial enterprises in Cyprus. It's not all the guys that people doesn't like what they're doing. It's a matter of the people who are also the commercial interests.
What do you think of what I said earlier about the treasurers now? If you've got a treasure, if you've got money sitting abroad, I don't care where it's sitting, is that the reason why you think that all of a sudden there's this flood to safety, even from U.S.-based corporations that might be having some assets sitting abroad? I mean, it seems to me as if there is a real flight to quality, whether it's the bund, whether it's the 10-year bond. I mean, people are afraid. They don't want to see their money confiscated anymore. But, you know, and they're not going to confiscate the bond. They're going to confiscate the bank account.
Right.
That's the big difference. But, you know, I mean, I guess my point is there you think there's a fear out there? And if there is that really a hidden bullish factor for our markets?
Oh, it's not hidden. I think part of the spread between the DAX struggling this week and the U.S. markets always being buoyant back up toward the highs, money coming out of Europe into the U.S., that's almost assured. The bigger question is the question you asked about the corporate people and whether they are tending to want to, you know, take money and take it out of major accounts. And that's what could really hurt the larger banks. And that's part of the problem.
Well, here, you know, one of the things that we worry about, especially with the situation in Europe, and if you could shed some light on this, is how fast the Europeans are going to be able to react to certain problems. You know, we're now into the Easter holiday. You know, they got Easter Monday out in Europe. Is there, I guess, some urgency at all developing here over the course of the next couple of weeks, or have they diffused it right now and contained it to just Cyprus? I guess I'm trying to have you read, you know, through in the tea leaves a little bit and tell us what you're looking at that could probably be a problem.
What could be a problem, to be very specific, is if especially to some degree Portugal, but especially if a major Spanish bank suddenly sees large deposits flow out to a degree that starts to affect their balance sheet.
Now, a couple of those Spanish banks, if I remember, are not insured.
Well, the larger deposits aren't. Smaller deposits are insured across Europe. But it gets back to the big problem we've talked about, how slow Europe moves on expressing a clear idea,
but that's capitalism. Look, here, I've got a FDIC guaranteed to a certain amount of money in an account, and after that, you know what?
Oh, yeah, I am
SOL. Guess what?
But that's true in Italy. It's true in the UK.
Yeah,
it's true everywhere. No, that's true.
You know,
no, they're uninsured.
I mean, if Glen U State Bank, God forbid, goes under, I lose money over
right.
a certain amount of
and
money
I'm
there.
Not worried about Russian oligarchs. I'm worried about companies like the big energy companies. What if Eni in Italy has some money in Spanish banks? It says pare that back to a minimum, and they start to all act.
Well,
in
now you hit the nail on the head. It's really trade finance that's really going to suffer here, and people don't talk about
that exactly
much.
The point.
You know, you're right, and I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back here from break. All right, folks, we're going to take a few minutes. This is a great day. You got to love the fact that we are looking at record highs across the board at the end of the quarter. For me, again, poetic justice, folks, for a quarter that it could be, in my mind, at least in my recent history, the least respected rally ever. We're going to take a few minutes and be right back.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com, freedom27.com, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
And welcome back, everybody, on what is a day, well, for the record books, folks. Record closes for the S&P 500. Record closes for the Dow Jones. I got 1569.15 for the S&P. The Dow at 14577.92. These are great closes, folks. NASDAQ's still a long ways from its record, 3267. But the Russell up there, over 950. How about it? Mid-cap, trans. Sports, all of these markets right now at what I consider to be, well, they're definitely all-time highs for what I thought consider to be just the beginning, folks, of what could be an amazing move. When you have a first quarter, like I said, the way this first quarter was, you know, usually that's a precursor to a much bigger move. Don't think it's over after the first quarter. Look, you know, somebody said to me, I remember once seeing a 10% first quarter, and they said, oh, that's it, we're done for the year. And you know what? They left 15% on the table. It was a 25% year. Not that this is going to be a 25% year, but it's something to think about. But here to shed us some light on everything and talk about some of these numbers and a little bit of the optimism that might be coming into the marketplace is Alan Rohrbach. Of course, he's the founder of Rohr International. And Alan, one of the questions that I guess I'm going to ask you is something that was asked of me yesterday on TV, and that is, do you see optimism coming into the marketplace? You know, I mean, I see it with certain things. I mean, I think that these numbers over the time are getting a little better. I think today's, you know, aberrations, you'll see an outlier. Today's GDP, for example, wasn't nearly as good as I think it would have been. But then again, you know, I think that there seems to be confidence that's flowing back into the marketplace with home building and other things. Give me your take a little bit on that, if you don't mind.
Well, actually, I think there is some confidence coming back in, but every time, you know what it feels like? It feels like the Al Pacino line at the end of Godfather 3. Every time you think everything's going to get good, they just pull back with some kind of bad news, which was the transportation guys with FedEx, some of the other shipping companies saying, we've got negative guidance. Our turnover wasn't as good as you would have thought.
It's funny. Now, on the one hand, they came out with negative guidance, but your trains, all right, and the local, the actual, those that are hauling things on the train lines are telling us that they're record at their record levels. That was on the Wall Street Journal.
Part of that, though, is you don't have pipelines yet to move as much oil shale as they'd like.
That's right.
They're moving a lot of shale, so their turnover is up, but it's centered on one aspect, not on the broader general economy. Not the general economy is bad, but it's being inflated.
But here, now we're going to go home, and over the course of the weekend, we are going to hear the talk shows, we're going to see the headlines, and it's going to be all about these record highs in the S&P. What I really want to ask you about is this 185 10-year, all right? There is a lot of money that is missing this rally, my friend. I mean, when I see it like that, I tend to think that, you know what, there's either a lot more that's going to happen, or, you know what, we're getting the wrong signal somewhere along the lines here.
Well, and that's part of the thing that gives people pause. As you said, the bonds have been up right along with stocks. Historically, that's such a counterintuitive type of activity.
And the dollar going up. I mean, you've got all three of them going up together. That's,
well,
to me,
I mean,
phenomenal.
Right. And it speaks of there still being problems in the world, and people who want safety are still running to bonds. They may end up being very wrong. But again, I think the economy has enough momentum that's going to feed on itself to some degree. I think the second quarter now will probably be pretty good, even if we take a dip, let's say, in April, but into May rather than selling. You know, last year you took the dip April into May, and by the time you got out in the later May into June, you should be buying. It wasn't selling May
and going
away.
Well, it's funny.
Buying May and going
away. I actually wrote a piece last year that said, don't sell and go away this May. Buy some protection and walk away.
Right.
And it turned out to be the right thing. In fact, last year, I think May might have been one of the only down months we had all year until the end of the year after the election when we saw some volatility. But going back to it, you know what? I guess I'm starting to sense that there's, I guess, the optimism that would give me reason to expect more of an expansion multiple. You know, I've been talking about this reversion to the means, and I think you've been hearing me talk about that, which has been taking the multiple back to where it should be for me, which is that 16 level against the earnings. Now, you got people projecting $125 this year for earnings. If that's the case, you know, they're talking with a 16 multiple, you're talking 1750 for a target in the S&P. I think that might be doable. So I guess to me, you know, what we're seeing right now makes a lot of sense. For you, and somebody who has been looking at this market and fighting a lot of it, and I know that you're not dogmatic about being a bear, but you are,
right.
you're a skeptic.
Grudgingly bullish.
You become grudgingly bullish.
Be.
Yes, and that's the sign of a guy. By the way, the sign of a good trader, because what you do is you know when to flip and know when to get bullish. What would it take for you, I guess, to become the bull that I am, or can you ever become the bull that I am?
I can. As a matter of fact, it's a great question, though. You always want to ask people to say the exception tests the rule.
Yes.
So if my rule is I don't trust the economy, what's the exception? And that is just what you hit on, Jack. You're right on the money. Are the earnings going to really be there? As in, is the top-line turnover going to increase enough to allow those earnings to perform well? And that's still my skepticism into Obamacare and the payroll taxes and all of that. And, of course, in a growing economy, you might be able to overcome that. But, Jack, I'm telling you, the Obamacare, and maybe even he wakes up and allows them to maybe pare back certain parts of it, although that would be unusual for the president. He's very dogmatic once he thinks something's the right thing to do. But this situation
I'm going to stop you. I'm not a big fan of Obamacare. I don't think it's a good piece of legislation. I do understand it. I understand, you know, that there's got to be something done with you know, the whole industry, you know, the medical industry. My wife is a doctor, is a nurse. My brother-in-law is a doctor. I've got nothing but nurses around me. I know. I get it. You know what I mean? There's got to be an overhaul. But of the healthcare system. But here's, I guess, my real question. Are we worried about something that hasn't really begun yet? And are we making a bigger deal out of it? I mean, look, we're looking for a punch as a fighter. You and I know that fighter doesn't get knocked out by the punch he's looking for. He gets knocked out by the punch he doesn't look for. All right? I mean, we're looking for that punch. Is it that we're looking for too much, I guess?
I think there's a lot of people, and, you know, I watch a lot of the both liberal and conservative, you know, talk TV. And there's a lot of people out there saying, well, we were paying for it anyway through the higher insurance rates because of all the people go to emergency rooms and the subsidies to hospitals. And there are a lot of people out there still saying, no, Obamacare is great, and it's going to ultimately be a plus, and it's not going to cost that much. And the people who are really doing the math are saying, your insurance rates, A, are going to go significantly higher. Mine are already up, but they're saying wait.
But they go up every year, Alan. My insurance rates go up every year.
They're going up to a much, much greater degree because Obamacare has the requirement.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I want
understand.
You to know that.
No,
only
I know.
Because
I know you have
I'm
also
not a
your
fan.
Skepticism,
yeah.
But Obamacare also has the requirement of the minimum features of a policy, you can't go in and buy an economy healthcare policy. It's requiring all you can buy is a fully loaded Cadillac. And that's the problem. They're trying to equalize everything, state control. This is back to like Russia, where there's one healthcare policy and it's what you must have. Now, the compounding factor is all the people having their hours reduced to get them down to part-time. The employers
That's
are reducing
one
their
of the
pay.
Ancillary effects of
all
of this.
They have to pay more for
You're
their
right.
health insurance.
All right, let's take a few minutes, come back, and then wrap it up here for not only the week, but also for the month and the quarter. This is The Jack B. Show.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for the day, for the week, for the month for the quarter. I got to tell you, what a quarter it was. I mean, for me to be able to see this type of action, you know what? It warms the cockles of this little Armenian's heart, I got to tell you right now. but, Alan, hey, look, we got a lot that's coming out next week. You know, I mean, it capped off with the unemployment number next Friday, which, of course, as we all know, since our Fed governors have been telling us. And by the way, did you catch what some of the Fed governors said earlier this week about
taking the targets down to 5.5? Some of the previous hawks were not so hawkish.
You know what? I got to tell you, that is, for me, a real bullish thing.
That's one of the market drivers. You're absolutely right.
I guess here's the question. You know, we got the first quarter or the first week of the quarter coming up here. Is there anything coming out? I know there are a lot of things coming out. What is it coming out that's standing out in your mind that we need to really pay attention to?
The first thing they say is not only what's coming out, but when it's coming out with Easter Monday in Europe. That's the UK and Europe. These people know how to party, folks.
Well, they are traditionally, we take off Good Friday here. They take off Easter Monday.
Oh, they're off.
They're off tomorrow, too.
Oh,
they take off. They got a four-day weekend. Oh, God bless those Europeans.
And
they retire at 55. You know what? I got to go to Europe. Go ahead.
Well, it also means all of your purchasing managers' indices are going to be offset by a day. Canada and the U.S. are going to get their PMIs on Monday for manufacturing, Tuesday in the U.K. and Europe. Wednesday, U.S. and Canada, not till Thursday in the U.K. and Europe. And what's Thursday? First full week of the month, and it's a full week. So we've got Bank of England. ECB is going to be huge. There are going to be a lot of questions about what went on in Cyprus, what it means to the bank system. But even before we see any of that on Thursday, it's the first meeting for the new dovish governor of the Bank of Japan. You will have an announcement and statement from the Bank of Japan.
Is that new Bank of Japan governor going to be, I guess, bowing to Abenomics? Is he going to be a disciple of Abenomics?
Well, let's just say he is a Buzz Lightyear Bernanke acolyte.
Okay.
So let's just leave it at that.
Let's put that in layman's terms. He's going to be a dove, isn't he?
He's going to be a quantitative easing maniac.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely. You can feel that. So now, how about here? You know, we got unemployment. We got a couple of other things that are coming out.
Well, you've got your typical early month numbers, but most of all, again, culminating in employment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, employment's been better than expected consistently over the for first part of this year, and now the question is, well, do you get another overshoot on Friday? All of what's coming out adds up to the context whereby even if there is some minor weakness, maybe the European PMIs, although that's already foreshadowed, that's cooked in because they have their preliminaries that we saw last week that were weaker than expected. So the market's discounting weaker than expected PMIs in Europe, especially what's going on in Cyprus. So now it's with the UK and us primarily, and substantially that means that, well, there's no reason anticipating dovish ECB, dovish Japan, and employment on Friday that at least on anticipation in the first part of the week, the bulls of the U.S. market. And don't forget, the German DAX was down from around 5,900 to 5,750 this week before it bounced. So,
but a lot of that, Alan, just to put that into perspective, let's be honest, a lot of that is redemption selling. People know that they're going to need more money because their bonds are getting hit. You know what I mean? They own bonds. They own European bonds, whether it be Italian bonds, whether it be Spanish bonds. Those bonds are costing them more. So I guess my point is I'm not too concerned about the European selling.
No, not at all. That just reflects also the context of where do you want your money, either corporately or personally. There's no reason to be running money into European equities right now. They may be good, but it'll only be in the wake of the U.S. leading.
Well, it's funny you say that because I just got through telling somebody that if you were going to find anywhere right now that nobody else wanted to invest in, where would it be? And I think unanimously the decision was Europe.
Well, there'll be a time to switch out. You're long the U.S. for the initial run-up when you think we're topping. Then you buy Europe.
Well, here's what I'm going to say to you. You know what? Never, ever in the entire time that I have been in these markets, and I've been in them almost 30 years, have I ever polled everybody to a certain degree and gotten a unanimous answer, and they've been right. So what I'm going to say is this. If everybody is telling me that they would not want to be invested in, say, Germany, I think I want to be in Germany because I've got a feeling that with the euro currency going down, that German economic exporting machine is going to produce some amazing numbers over the course of the next few months.
Well, and the key there is investing.
Yes.
You don't want to try and buy the DAX for a trade.
No, and that's not what I'm talking right. about. But I'm talking about if you were to look for a place for the next couple of years, all right, where would it be? And that, for me, is the dip. And, you know, folks, this is probably a good place to say it because we've had such a great quarter with the record close, with the S&P at a record close, with the Dow at a record close, with the NASDAQ getting, you know, well, fairly priced. I mean, it's not going to be nowhere near that 5,000 record that it was at. But the Russell 2000, the mid-cap, you know, these are all at record closes, folks. You know, it reminds me that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that have been looking at the White House, and they've been saying, you know, you're not getting the policy that would warrant this kind of move. Folks, look, the message here is loud and clear. An occasional liberal in the White House is not going to destroy the American entrepreneurial spirit. You know, on the contrary, if anything, it makes you appreciate the American entrepreneurial spirit that much more. And if you think about it, remember, the market voted on that lack of real leadership by taking it down to a suppressed multiple. It came back to where it should be, that the norm of 16. If you get optimism in this market between now and the end of the year, and Alan, I'm going to put it on the table, we are looking at a 1750, maybe even an 1800 S&P with a 25% move when we're all done at the end of the year, because you are going to get towards the end of the year a velocity in this move, because that's when the euphoria will come in, because you and I know there are still a lot of non-believers.
You have to learn to come out of your shell, Baruzian. You just have trouble expressing yourself. That's your real issue. But I'll say this about the of course, my unbought bull squeeze scenario. And that is that overbought condition. My overbought conditions all come with fail safes, that if it gets beyond it by too far, it can run again. You know, this happened back at 25 to 30. That's why we go to 15.70.80. Above 15.80, you could potentially see 16.50 pretty quickly.
That's when you get the
and
run.
That's what we have to – I'm keeping an eye on, even
you
if
know,
I am skeptical.
You know what I call those runs up there? That's when the easy money comes in. How about that?
Right.
All right, that's
they
it.
Accelerate.
That's it for me, folks. For Alan Rohrbach, this is Jack Baruch, and have yourselves a marvelous Passover and a fantastic Easter. We'll be talking to you next week.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.